as a general, a lead, as a leader in dealing with the nations of the world that are gathering against Klal Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, trying to destroy them, and he's going to speak to them, and these are his words. The Melech HaMashiach will stand in front of the world and recite these words. That's Rash's first interpretation based upon Rabbi Seinu, Darshu, Eser Inyan, Al Melech HaMashiach. No, that's just a minor point. Nothing's minor, but sometimes when Rashi quotes Rabbi Seinu, he says Rabbi Seinu Zichroinam Levracha. And sometimes he doesn't say that. He says Rabbi Seinu. Is there any significance? Every word of Rashi is like Ruach HaKodesh. When you say Zichroinam Levracha, first Zichroinam Levracha, we make a terrible mistake and we think that it means they're dead. There's no such thing. The Chazal's terminology, dead, is only if it says Olav HaShalom.
Right.
It doesn't say Olav HaShalom. Then it means they're alive. And Adrabah, Zecher Tzadik Levracha in Chumash, Rashi says, the Avraham Hoyoyel Goy Godol, Rashi on the Pasuk says, Zecher, once you mention Avraham, so and Avraham in the context of that Pasuk is alive, so then Hashem already says nice things, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in Chazal's terminology, refers to the living. Like when we say Shalita, Shalita is Rosh Hashanah Sheyichye Liyamim Toivim Aruchim. Okay, we commonly put the word Shalita after a person's name, Sheyichye Liyam Toivim Aruchim, or you write Nun Vav, Nun Yud Vav. Hashem Yintereyu, Hashem Yishmereyu, Vyintereyu. You ever see that expression? That those letters, Nun Yud Vav. You put it after a living person, Hashem Yishmereyu, Vyintoreyu. May Hashem guard this person and protect him. That's a very beautiful bracha. I once asked the Talmud Chacham,
what half of New York?
New York? New York? You see by bar mitzvah boys. You write Ployni Shlita, or you write Ployni Nun Yud Resh. Nun Yud Vav. Nun Yud Vav. I once asked the Talmud Chacham, which one is more chashuv? So he told me Shlita. He told me Shlita is more chashuv because Shlita is Sheyichye Liyamim Tovim Aruchim, to live. He told me to live is more chashuv than to say Yishmereyu, Yishmereyu V'yintereyu. Alright, that's what he told me. I don't know how deep he was thinking into this answer. It's a very interesting idea. Why do you have different expressions for different people? My father, Zichron Levracha, told me once. He was the editor of the RJJ Journal, the Kol Yaakov. Years ago, there was a journal. Today, every little yokel has a journal. But in those days, years ago, it was a big novelty. The RJJ put out a Torah journal, and it was a novelty. Printing in general, it was a novelty to print a sefer. Today, desktop publishing, anyone can go do whatever they want. It's no big deal today. I mean, you have to have what to say, but. It was a big novelty, and all the yeshivas, it was a big thing. It was a big thing to write an article, to get it published in the journal. So my father was the editor at one point, and he put it after the names of certain people, Nun, Yud, Vav. But and people didn't know what that meant. There were many people who mamish did not know what those letters meant. It wasn't so common. You go, not everyone knew how to use Google yet. So go type in Nun Yud Vav in Rosh Tevis, and like they got very scared. They thought it meant like the person died, or something like that. And it's not. It means Hashem. It means
Yud.
That's Nun Yud, right? That's another time. Nun Yud is after. Yes, Nun Yud is Nero Yud. Another expression to live a long time. Nun Yud. Or Yud, or Hashem, what did I say? Hashem, Yishem, Yishmereyu, Yinsereyu, Yishmereyu, I've got rid of the whole expression. Alright, whatever it is. But okay, and but what about Zeche Tzadik Levracha?
There's also another one.
Nun Rei Shvav.
Neturei. Rachmana.
Uporke. May Hashem guard him and redeem him. many different expressions. Why are we getting sidetracked here? Because over here, Rashi, if you compare Rashi, sometimes he says Rabbi Seinu Zichroinam Levracha, and sometimes Rashi does not. And that itself is not a coincidence. You can't say that Rashi was sloppy, and sometimes he said Zichroinam Levracha, sometimes he did not say. And it's very fascinating here when Rashi is talking about Mashiach. Rabbi Seinu Darshu Es HaInyan Al Melech HaMashiach. You can't consider when Rashi wrote this, he's referring to his Rebbeim that are living, because Zichroinam Levracha, as we said many times, is an expression that you use to refer to the living, not to the dead. We today, in the 21st century, we use the expression Zichroinam Levracha, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in reference to the dead.
But the living like the dead.
But that's not so. Okay. So I just find it curious that when it comes to the Melech HaMashiach,
like
when it comes to the Mashiach, Rashi over here does not want to say the
word. You don't want to think it's a printer error?
No, I don't. I think it's too much of a... Listen, I don't know. What do I know?
Does he use Razal often?
He does. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Every time Rashi says something, you can't say Rashi was the Rabban Shal Yisrael. Rashi is, doesn't need our Haskama. And these are certain diyukim we don't really pay much attention to, but I want to argue that there is a limud, there is a significance in this as well, and you know, obviously, it's you need to prove it. You need to really, but it's an idea to keep in mind. Rashi, when it comes to another Mashiach, does not mention any titles.
But also the fact that there's no citation, that nobody looked up and said, "Oh, this is the citation."
Oh, so we have the Mamar on the bottom. So some of these things are actually on the bottom of the page. Maybe we'll come to them. We do have the citations. That's what he did. That the Gemara is more broad. The Gemara, I think, so they will see more brachas. That's what the editor of this edition did. He took a lot of these Mamar Chazal and he obviously used the computer and he found them and he put them on the bottom for us. Made it very, very convenient. Okay, so here Rashi Nielzer brought one. You saw over here. We said Darshu Lozor Yin Al Melech HaMashiach. This refers to Melech HaMashiach. Well, if he mashmoi, that's a pshut shalmikul. If he mashmoi, but according to the simple interpretation, now here, and here's a very important word, you'll hear it, ulis, ule, vilis, shuva saminim. And in response to the apikursa, I'll explain to you what it means by this in one moment. Nochoin lepoistroi al David atzmo. It would be better when you learn this mizmor in the Shir to understand that this refers to David HaMelech is describing himself when he became Melech. When David was anointed king by Shaul, now it took some time until he established himself, until he was accepted by Klal Yisrael. David was until Shaul died, and then there was 2 years when his son Ishbosheth was in this place, and then David was only a Melech in Chevron for 7 years. Until he ultimately was accepted as the Melech of the entire Klal Yisrael. So David's Malchus was a process. David was not accepted as the Melech Yisrael overnight. It took time. It took years. It was a very, very, very long, difficult process. And also there were internal enemies. Many people said that David's not fit for Malchus because David came from Moab. David came from Rus, and Rus is a Moavi. Lo yavai amoini umoavi bekahal Hashem. So David is illegitimate. Oh, the drasha amoini v'le amoinis moavi v'le moavis, that only applies to the male lineage, not from the female lineage. That was not accepted right away. That was debated. That was a very, very big debate. So David was pursued from within and from without. He was pursued by his predecessor, Shaul. He was pursued by members of Klal Yisrael that felt he was illegitimate because he was from the nation of Moab. And it's an explicit pasuk, Lo Yavei Amoni Umoyoi B'Kal Hashem. He was pursued by members of his family who thought that he was a mamzer because Yishai was not with his wife leading up to the time that he was born. So how in the world did my wife become pregnant? If I was separated from her, what in the world is going on? I never gave her a get, and I did not live with her. So how in the world did she become pregnant? So, I mean, this, the truth was because the maidservant that he was living with, he did a, she did a switcheroo. Okay, she told Yishai's wife, we'll switch. He won't know the difference. We'll switch. Okay, but Yishai didn't think that his maidservant was so cunning, and his wife would do something like that. They would switch on him. You know, he didn't imagine such thing would happen. So in his eyes, he was a mamzer. So look at this. David was pursued from really three types of enemies. Then what else? The nations of the world. Halacha biyadua, Esav soinei Yaakov. Since when does a Gentile like a Jew? Okay? So we have over here, and there are all different types of enemies of the Klal. You have Yishmael, he has his ex, he has his problems, and we have Esav, and we have some other people out there that nothing better to do than to hate us. So David was pursued. He was challenged in every dimension of his life. He was challenged by his own family that he was a mamzer. He was challenged by Shaul, that you're illegitimate. The Malchus belongs to the Malchus of Shaul. He was challenged by Klal Yisrael, that you're from the nation of Moab. He was challenged by the Umay Sa'olam. What's this nation Klal Yisrael doing over here? What are they all about? So David had to put up a good fight to survive. It was not easy to be David. Being in David's shoes was not an easy thing. So when David became the Melech, when his Malchus was finally solidified, and there was an inauguration, and it was official, and everyone had to concede, finally the day came, everyone conceded, this is what he said. These are the words of David. When David became Melech, he was accepted, and now already their wars are breaking out, and David now is responding, Lama Rak Shugoyim, and David is saying to the nations of the world, why are you gathering, why are you making a commotion, Ulu'umim, why are you the nations of the world, Yegu, are you speaking Rik, nonsense, Rik is like spit, why are you saying words of nonsense, what's your problem, calm down, accept, I'm not here to harm you, I'm a Hashem's servant. So far Rashi is telling us there are two very different halachim and when this mizmor was composed on the purpose, either it has not yet happened. These words will be said, and the events mentioned in this mizmor are going to be said by the Melech HaMashiach, the Talmud Melchemes, Koy Gumagum. Number two, it's being said by David, when David solidified this in the past, when David solidified his Malchus and Klal Yisrael, that's when the mizmor was said. Rashi says, I prefer the second interpretation. I don't reject, but I do not prefer what Rabbi Seinu, our teachers, have taught us. I prefer to go with the Mahalach that this is going referring to David himself, and David was sent for when his Malchus was solidified. Okay, listen to Rashi. And why? For two reasons. Lufi Mashmoi, it's the simple reading of the words. Number two, Uvilis Shuvas Haminim. And we have to say this pshat in order to respond to the apikorsim, the people that put signs on the buses and on the subway stations about go look at Isaiah in this chapter, the missionary people. This mizmor is very important to use as a response to the mishugoyim out there. And I'll explain to you in a moment why. Nochon l'poishral David asma li'in shenemar. This pasuk has to be understood in reference to what it says in Shmuel. And we're going to be doing a lot of this, it seems. Yishmu Pelishtim ki moshu Yisrael as David lamelech aleihem. They freaked out when the Pelishtim heard that there's a new boss in town. The elections are over, and David has been elected as the new Melech in Klal Yisrael. The Pelishtim, they heard that he's been anointed, and they basically freaked out. And what did they do? Vayikvitzu Pelishtim. So who are the people who gathered? When it says over here the Goyim and the Umim, according to Rashi, it's not referring to Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Australia, all these, Pakistan. We're not referring to all these nations of the world that are coming together to go to war against Klal Yisrael, Yimos HaMashiach. We are referring to the Pelishtim. We're referring to the Pelishtim, and the Pelishtim, they're not nations. Why do we call them the Pelishtim, the Goyim and the Umim? So the answer is, that's their Hamikra. Derech HaMikra is sometimes we call even local, you call the local mafia, you call them the Umim, and you call them the Goyim, right? The Goyim, the Goyish, they are Goyim out there in the street, right? We call them Goyim. Who's the Goyim? What are you talking about? A couple of thugs, a couple of uncultured and wild people. So we call troublemakers by the name of Goyim, Umim, and that here, according to Rashi, we're referring to none other than a small collection of people that live in Eretz Yisrael who have not yet been obliterated. They are the Polishtim, and that's who are we referring to when we call them the Goyim and the Umim.
So what I hear from this is he's saying, really, it is talking about Elul HaMashiach, the big picture, but let's redirect the conversation.
Exactly. It's very interesting what Rashi's doing. It's truly very interesting. Rashi is going in that fashion. He's saying, Rebbe say, you tell us, Elul HaMashiach. But the Pasha Pshat, and also it's practical. It's a very practical approach not to get involved with Elul HaMashiach. I'll explain to you why in a moment. And let's just simply learn this in reference to David HaMelech, because once you're going to start talking about Mashiach, right, you're opening up a can of worms.
So what does this have to
I'll show you why. What?
What does this have to do?
I will explain in one moment. We're gonna one moment. Give me one. Let's finish the rationale, then we're gonna explain in detail.
He says Machaneim, by the way. That's sort of by Machaneim, referring to the many, many nations who made these Machaneim.
By Yikus Plushim, their camps. Right. Their camps. All the Arab League. Yeah. The Arab League of Nations. All the different varieties of the Polishtim, they all came together. They all got together. They fell in the hands of David. Valeim Amar David conquered them. Valeim Amar Lama Rokshu Goyim Viniskam Suchulam. Why are you trying to fight with me? Ula Umim Yegu Rik Yegu Baliba Rik. So notice now we said over here that the Mitzudas Rashi is saying not like what we read before in the Mitzudas David. In the Mitzudas David said when I pointed out this point, Yegu, look at the Mitzudas Sioin, Yegu is Yidabru, to speak. As I pointed out, that's how the Mitzvah's David, but Rashi says that cannot be, because when Yege Rashi Lishitasoi Mizmer Aleph, Uvitarasoi Yege Yoimam Valoila, Yege means the heart. So here, why are the nations of the world Yegu Belibam? Why are they, you want to say speak, they're speaking in their heart. You don't usually use the word speaking in reference to the heart. They're thinking. They're meditating in their heart. Asher
Nisya. Well, usually it means you think to yourself.
Think to yourself. Okay.
Elibo.
Very good. So you why are they thinking about this? Asher Nisyatsu Malchi Eretz. Now is this going into the next pasuk? Asher Nisyatsu Malchi Eretz. The kings of the earth, they are standing. They are positioning themselves. The Roizdim. Roizdim means the leaders. It's a word of a roz. What's a roz? A secret. Leaders have access to all the secrets of the world. That's why they're called roizlim. Noistu means to. They are planning. They are putting together a plan of action. Yochad to attack the Jewish people. So Yaakov. So David is saying to them, "What are you people doing? What are you getting together? What are you gathering? What are you going and planning? Making plans to go and make trouble for me, I'm going to wipe you out." Ula Umim, Menachem Pasar. Menachem is Rashi's contemporary. Rashi is a, what's the fancy English word? A grammar.
What?
An expert in grammar. How do you say this in English?
Grammarian.
Grammarian. Menachem Pasar. Ula Umim, Goyim, Kulam, Kurve, Imin. All of these words. Ula Umim. Umim, Goyim, Kulam, Kroyve, Inyan, they all mean the same thing. In this context, it means David's enemies. And in this context, it refers to the Polishtim. The Polishtim here, they're coming together. Now, going to the question, what is going on over here? So, I'm going to read you a little bit of Radak, the very end of the Mizmor, but before we get to the Radak, let me just show you over here, let's read a little bit further. I'll just jump ahead for 1 second. Okay, Pasik. Okay.
You know, Mordechai mentioned the UN. You know the modern Hebrew word for the UN?
The modern Hebrew is what?
The
Look at Pasik Zion. K Okay, I'm going to come back and just look at the pasuk Zayin. Why Rashi is saying don't look for trouble. Asapara el choik Hashem. Asapara el choik. I'm sorry. Asapara el choik. Kama Hashem Omar Eli Bini Ata You Ani Hayon Yeliditicha. Okay, now you know what Rashi says. Don't open up a can of worms. Hashem says to me, David is saying about himself, Hashem, Omar Eli, Hashem said to me, Bini, you David, you are my child. Bini Ata. Ata means you are my child. Ani, I Hashem Hayom, today, Yeladeticha have given birth to you. Mm. Now, if you know, just you don't need to know very much about the Yashka. And Christianity.
This shows that it's been going on for 1,000 years before then.
There is truth to that. The origins of Christianity, definitely there's something about that goes back before 2,000 years. Okay, to now 2021. So that means, according to the corrupt understanding, that means that the birth of Yashka took place approximately 2021. That's the whole calendar. The whole calendar. Okay, the whole thing. Anyway, we know that the whole calendar is corrupt, and they no. And then the truth is, everything has been distorted and corrupted. But approximately, they believe, the Christians believe that their God was born approximately 2021 years ago. Now, this pasuk was written way before that. David and Melech lived at least 1,000. We're going to calculate. So therefore, obviously, the Christianity, the ideas. The roots of Christianity have existed before they created their religion. There are elements in Chazal Torah, even from Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, after the Chet Eitz Hadas, he was afraid, so that every day the days were getting shorter and shorter and shorter. The nights were getting longer and the days were getting shorter. And Adam did not understand what this meant. And he thought the world is coming to an end. And then it reached the time, then it reached the point, approximately approximately January, whenever it was. December 25th, January, whatever it was. And then the days started getting a little bit longer. And it took Adam and Rishon time to perceive that indeed the world is not going to be destroyed. The days are getting a little bit longer. And he came to that realization. He made a su'udah. He made a celebration to thank Hashem. That the Hashem is not going to destroy the world. So this and these dates that Chazal speak about with other Marishon, they coincide with their holidays. So obviously, when they created their holidays, it wasn't fresh, brand new. There were elements that they took from previous generations and other pagan religions and other things of nonsense that they incorporated into their religion. And this pasuk over here, which talks about this idea, which could be misunderstood by Apikorsen, that there's such a thing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu having a child in this world, which is pure nonsense, Apikorsen, and total craziness. You see it here in this pasuk. You cannot deny the fact that it's here in this pasuk. Hashem, Omar, Eli, Biniyata, Ani, Hayom, Yeliditicha, I have given birth to you today. So this pasuk predates by at least 1,000 years this whole nonsense that they've created. So Rashi over here very cleverly says, listen, this pasuk, this mizmor, according to Chazal, is referring to Melech HaMashiach. The mizmor has not yet happened. The day is going to come when this mizmor is going to happen, when the Melech HaMashiach will come, and he's going to be a Melchemes Goy Gumogak, and David HaMelech is going to address the world and say, what are you, the nations of the world, doing by trying to come together and unify to attack Hashem's chosen nation? What are you doing? And the Melech HaMashiach is going to give a long speech. And part of his speech is going to say these words, which we'll read in a few minutes soon. We'll go explain this to you. So once you tell me this refers to Melech HaMashiach, and you come to this pasuk, you're opening up a can of worms. You really need to open up a can of worms and go fight with these apikarsim and yadama lahoshim. And just to elaborate a little bit more, if you turn to the very end of the mizmor and look at the radak on page 23. You turn to page 23 after the entire mizmor is complete. The radak throws in a whole long explanation, and if you look over here, go back before the notion. When you see this, there's a pattern that begins the Hanoitrim. Go up 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. Go up 4 lines. The Yesh Mefarsh, that what Radak has done, we're not going to learn Radak. The Radak basically explains each of these psukim in reference to David HaMelech speaking to the Pelishtim. David is addressing the Pelishtim and he's telling them, take a cold shower and get out of here before I obliterate you. That's what David HaMelech went to the point. That's the way the Radak learns all the psukim. And then after the whole Mizmar is over, he says, by the way, the Yesh Mefarshim Zeha Mizmar, even though I so far have only explained this Mizmar like Rashi's preferred interpretation in reference to David speaking to the Pelishtim, his personal enemies, on the day or at the Tekufa when he became the Melech of Klal Yisrael, you should know there's another interpretation that this Mizmar has not yet happened. It's prophecy. It will happen in the time of the coming of Mashiach. The Yesh Mefarshim Zeh HaMizmar Al Goy Gumagoy. The HaMashiach. Hu Melech HaMashiach. And that's what the Melech HaMashiach will say to the nations of the world. The Chayim Perishu, Rabbi Seinim. So he says, Zuchroinim Levracha. In Mesech the Bracha is Tav Zayin Amibes. Umivor Zeh HaMizmar Al Zeh HaDerech. Avla Koroif Hu. But the better pshat, the word Karvav Yam, I'm assuming it means the more relevant shot.
Why the nations gather in King's talk in vain?
I'm sorry?
Translating the words.
Love it.
So, Avol, but Avol, Karvhu, Ki Amaroi David, Alatz Maikamoshe Perashno. But the Parshat shot is the way the Radak has explained so far, which we're going to go over, we'll go through the Sukkim soon. And that's also far too. And now he says the Hanoitrim. The Radak is not afraid to enter into this arena. The Hanoitrim, the Christians, Mefarshim Oisoi Al Oisoi Hoish. Okay, Yeshu, the Apostle Ashrahim Mivim. And he goes on a whole tirade here, and he says, if you want to really know the psukim adrab, the psukim themselves show that they're totally wrong. The psukim which they use as their source to prove their false religion, that they use as support to their mistake, the psukim themselves is their own stumbling block, is their own defeat. It shows that they're totally wrong. Who Omar, and what is the main pasuk? The main thrust of where they're focusing on is Hu Hashem Omar Eli Biniat. You are my child. Aniya Yamilitika. Ki im Yamulucha. Hu Hoya Bain or Kel. Lo Yitachalama. So now he goes on a whole long shah, which we're not going to do now. I don't want to spend time on this. But basically goes on to say this total nonsense. It's garbage. Just say what they say. There's no such thing as a Kodesh Baruch Hu having a physical human child. It's impossible to say such nonsense. The whole thing is ridiculous. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is cooler, Ruchni. Hashem is not. It's Muvdal from Gashmias. And this thesis of the Christians is a horrible, horrible distortion and lie, corruption of the text. Okay, we're not going to go through because you really need to be a big bucky muflug in Christian theology, which Baruch Hashem is not, and to understand every little point he's making over here. This is a big thing. If you lived during the time of the Rishonim, you knew Christianity on the tip of your, you know, you knew it. You really knew it. Because Yidam Ala Hoshev, you have to know how to properly respond to this movement. The movement today we don't hear about this today, but we live in a different world today. But can you imagine what
it's still around?
Yes, of course, it's still around. It's still
terrible.
Yeah. Okay, but Baruch Hashem, Chasde Hashem, in our circles, if you don't want to know from it, you don't have to know from it. You go back to the 12th century. You go back to the Crusades. I mean, this was in the air. This was life. It was all about finding it out about these things, and you know, Klal Yisrael were expelled from every country, more or less because of Christianity. And you know, this was the big thing. Okay, so this is the basic yisoidus of the mizmar. So they are basically there are two. We learn the first part of this Rashi. This mizmar, this is always a big question. Who composed the mizmar? When was it composed? In reference to what? So we have two basic mahalchim. Either it was composed, it has not yet happened. It's a prophecy about Melech HaMashiach as he addresses the world in the Melcham of Gog and Magog, or it's referring to an historical event when David was accepted as the Melech of Klal Yisrael after a very long struggle and many issues, and now he has to deal with the Pelishtim. He's now addressing the Pelishtim and telling them either shape up or shape out.
And other similar incidents in history.
Oh, right, of course. That's for the Darshanim, absolutely. Yeah. That's for the Darshanim, absolutely. And then there's also a very critical point that Rashi is mentioning. He mentions the Minim, and the Radak goes to town. This Pasuk is one of the Psukim that the Minim, the Apikorsim, is their lifeblood, this Pasuk. This Mizmar, they on the trains, they put Isaiah, I forgot which paragraph it is. This Pasuk in Tehillim is even worse. This Pasuk is really, I mean, the bread and butter of their religion. In this Mizmar, Hashem Omar Elai Biniyata Ani Hayom Yiluditicha. This Pasuk has to be dealt with. Rashi alludes to this. L'shuvas Haminim, and the Radak has a long perish coming to explain the false narrative of the Apikorsim, and how to respond. Okay, now let's go to the Psukim. Maybe one more time we'll see some more things about it. But right now, let's read the Psukim, get some basic appreciation of what it says over here, according to those Mahalchim, whether it's going to be Melech HaMashiach, whether it's going to be done. Pasuk Beis. Yisyatzlu Malchei Eretz. V'roizim noistu yochad al Hashem di al Mishichoi. So let's learn now, referring to David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the anointed one. David HaMelech has now been anointed as the Melech of Klal Yisrael. The Melech has to be anointed with the Shem HaMishcha. That's one of the Pesukim in the Torah. You have to anoint the Melech with the Melech of Shem HaMishcha. In the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was no longer the Shem HaMishcha. I mean, the kings were not really the Zerubbabel. When Zerubbabel, they came back from the Eretzis, from Bavel, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash to serve as the Melech, the Sudu Melech. He was not anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha because there was no Shemen HaMishcha. All of the kings in the time of the Bayis Rishon were anointed. So when it says Mishicho, we don't have to get carried away and refer to the anointed one Melech HaMashiach. We're referring over here to David, who was a king, and a king is called anointed. That's just a term. Yisyasu means to do what? It means to stand. The Mitzudos, so we try to do a little bit of the vocabulary words. The Mitzudos, Tzion doesn't say, and the Malbum also, it means to stand. The Yisyatsu Malchei Eretz. The word Yisyatsu also has a connotation of Nitzat, of Kiyinotsu Shnei Cho Anoshim Yochat. And then the wife of one of the men puts out her hand and grabs her husband's enemy, Bimevushav. Right, that's Parashim Baparash Kiseitsei. Yisavah? Mishpatim? Oh, okay. Kinatsu Anoshim Yachtov.
Oh, the Katsoy says Kappa.
The Katsoy says Kappa. The parasha where two men are fighting. Two men are fighting with one another. And one of these two men has a very good wife. She's very loyal to her husband. And she comes to save her husband. And she does something which is very bizarre. And she grabs her husband's adversary, Binevushav. So it says, the Katsoy says Kappa. Cut off her hand. Okay, she caused him great embarrassment. It's a topic in and of itself. Are you supposed to shoot the person in the leg? Are you supposed to, if is a person who's a dangerous person? There's a very big debate I actually saw a video in that recently. They actually showed this, fascinating. There's a very big debate in the law enforcement. If there's a person who's a dangerous person and you want to neutralize him, should you aim for a non-lethal
vital organ?
Aim to shoot him in the foot instead of shooting
in
the head.
No one says
so. So why do you say no one says so?
No, they don't, because if you shoot at extremities, your chances.
They actually showed a video, a real video of a person actually holding a weapon, and the law officer tried to shoot him in the foot, and the end was, it was a disaster. End was, and the whole lesson was, next time, shoot to kill. Shoot to kill. Don't be a tzaddikul. Don't be a hero. Shoot to kill. So over here, his wife, this man, these two men are fighting, and they're fighting, they're punching each other. What exactly is the case? So what does she do? She goes to the jugular. Okay, she goes and she grabs him, bin nevushav. This parasha is very relevant. It's a very relevant parasha to law enforcement. To law enforcement, how to deal with a threat. Okay, enough said. That was a sidebar. Now coming back over here, that parasha ki yinotsu anoshim. What does it mean? That word. They're quarreling. It's that word ki yinotsu, but the word yinotsu also comes from the word yisyatsu. Atem nitzovim. This word of nitzavim is related to the word ki yinatsu, which means you're standing in a combative way. No, you can stand peacefully.
We're standing over.
Oh,
someone.
There's a peaceful demonstration and there is a non-peaceful demonstration.
You can. Shnei
Anoshim Ivrim Nitzim. Shnei, by Moshe Rabbeinu was well. Shnei Anoshim Ivrim Nitzim. Vayonu l'rasha lama sak esrayach. So the word nitzim means on the one hand to stand, but it also means to stand in a threatening way. The way the expression is, I'm here to fight. I'm not just here to be a nice guy. I'm here to make trouble. So over here, David says, Yisyatsu is describing the Malchei Eretz, the kings of the earth. They're standing, but they're not standing peacefully. They're not here with an award. And offering me some sushi
and some
champagne. They're standing here with weapons to punch me. Yisyatsu malchei eretz. They stand in a combative way. The roiznim. Roiznim is a great word, a great vocabulary word. Mitzudo Sion says it means princes. And the Malbum, the Ram Malbum says, I like what the Malbum says. Roiznim means diplomats. Okay, diplomat. A team of diplomats come.
Ambassadors.
We're here to make peace. Oh, really? We're here for a hostile takeover. And why are the diplomats called roiznim? The notion of roz, a secret. Secrets means they negotiate. We know all the secrets. We know how much money you.
That's not what the Malbim is saying.
The Malbim is hein sore ha eitzah,
which means.
Your cabinet members,
yeah.
Okay, but it's the diplomatic approach. It's not the military approach,
right?
So that so the roiznim are the diplomats. Uvahu smuchim el melachim tamid. They're the team. My team will deal with you. Okay, the melach is the head of state. You have yisyatsu malchei eretz. The malchei eretz is the head of state, the president, the prime minister. Okay, the head of state arrives. The roiznim, and who does he come with? He comes with his team. Who's his team? His cabinet, his advisors, his press secretary, he comes with the people, the diplomats. Noistu yochad, they're all conspiring. With noistu lashon of soid. They're all conspiring together. What are they conspiring together? All these people, al Hashem yal Meshicha, and Hashem, and on Meshicha, on me David. Now, if you take that together, if you take this pasuk together with pasuk aleph, I would suggest that pasuk aleph refers to the military, because the military make a lot of noise. The military lama rokshu goyim ul umim yegurik. Then we're calling them yisyatsu malchei eretz. Malchei are the kings, and then veroizim nostu yochad. We have over here three different. You want to say three or four? There are. Goyim, there are umin, then there is the malchei, and there are the roiznim. So divide up government to your liking into four categories. Okay, so you can have in this government, let's say look at the United States. How would you look at the United States? You look at, if you would try to take this in modern terms, you would say the malchei is the president, the roiznim is his cabinet, the goyim. Who the goyim? It says the rokshu. That's the generals, because they're gathering and they're making a lot of noise. The military makes always a lot of noise, and ulumim yegurik to speak, ulumim the press. What does it mean? It means his the PR people.
The press secretary.
There's a whole team of them. They come in different colors. Boy, they would kill me for saying that, right? That was such a racist statement. I feel so good now. Okay? The press secretary. I'm probably not laughing. Why not? You don't want to be associated with me. You run for office, you're going to be a lot of trouble.
It's not the R word. It's just the people I'm thinking of.
Okay, so we have here, a Malchus is made up of many different components. There's the head of state, there's the military, there is the public relations, there are the diplomats, there's a lot of that. And that's what it says. All of them are all united in one goal to make trouble. So all they want to do, they want to make sure they want to go plan, conspire against Hashem and against David Melech. This is an incredible thing because you see, this pasuk makes it very, very clear. It's a Melchemes Hashem. It's a Melchemes Hashem. And if the pasuk would just say, oh, we're coming to conspire al mishichai. We don't like you. We don't like you. What don't we like about you? You're not submissive. You're arrogant. You're too powerful for us. Leich me'imanu. Ki yotzamta mimenu ma'od. Avimelech says to Yitzhak, get out of here. Why? He doesn't say anywhere that it's a Melchemes Hashem, because we want to rebel against Hashem. We want to go build a Migdal Bavel. He says, we're jealous of you. You're too powerful for us. It's very common that you have many organizations where you have people that rise to the top. They're very, very powerful, but they're not on good terms with the board. You have the board, the people who pay the bills, and you have people who run an organization, and the people who run the organization, they become very popular with all the people, but they're not popular with the board, the chairman of the board. So what? You're fired because I'm the boss. It's not because we have a problem with what you're doing, with what you represent. And I don't want to you can extrapolate in today's times when there are many different issues in this world. And it's always very diplomatic to keep Hashem out of the equation. It's a very diplomatic thing that when you have an issue in world politics and you want to fight, keep Hashem out of it. You know, why are we going to war with this nation? It's about land. It's about money. It's always about money. Land, money, it's about kavod. Sometimes it's all about kavod. People will argue how much of the Iraq war was about Bush getting revenge from Saddam, who tried to assassinate his father. Okay, the human condition is extremely complex. There are many reasons why people go to war and people do things. What about God? Is he part of the equation? Let's keep him out of it. It's a very easy, the very politically correct thing to do is to keep God out of the equation. But the truth is, more often than not, it's all about Hashem. It's all about the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you have emuna in Hashem, the equation is totally different. Everything is different. When you put Hashem in the equation, you openly speak about what is your real agenda. Do you believe in the Tzelem Elokim? Do you value life? Do you value, okay? We'll talk about, and we spoke about this before, I'm not trying to be anything political. Let's say, in a war, there are korbanos. When you fight a war, there are korbanos. Any war. There are korbanos. So the question is it kedai to fight a war and knowing you're going to lose people? If Eretz Yisrael, they go to war, they want to expand, they want to go into Gaza. So statistically, you know, al derech hateva, these are the number of soldiers who are going to die. Okay, you go to West Point and you do a study, and there's enough information to know al derech hateva. So you go into Lebanon. The United States wants to go do a military action in another country. People are going to die. So is it worth the price? So a head of state has to make a decision. Listen, this is what head of state does. They make calculations, and yes, in war people die. But how many people are you willing to give up in order to achieve your result? So it all depends on how much you believe in God. If you're a very religious person and you appreciate the value of life and that a person, a human being, is created in the image of God, so there might be a difference to achieve an important result if it's kedai to lose 100 people, or 100 people is too much. 10 people would be a fair sacrifice for such a mission. Maybe not even one person would be fair. Maybe how many people? Well, obviously, a country that doesn't have much connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the good of the country, you have to sacrifice whatever needs to be sacrificed. But if you're a religious country and you value life, is it really worth it? The equation is a very different equation. So here, it's very, very fascinating that this pasuk here says, you want to go learn about this, referring to the Melech HaMashiach. See, today, if you notice today, dealing with this whole horror, corona, there's no mention of God. It's swept under the rug. Every decision of lockdown, and medications, and how to deal with it, in every single dimension, government, God is not present. Okay, so I'm not here to talk politics. The way they're dealing with it is responsible, not responsible. Every country has their own mahalach and how to deal with this. Is God discussed? Is God part of the equation in dealing with the situation? You don't hear about it. You don't hear it. He's not part of the equation.
Except for closing of houses of worship.
That's where it becomes very ugly. That's probably why it becomes so ugly, because the whole approach is somehow, we don't want to go there. Don't go there. But the truth is, it's all about Hashem. It has to be. Has to be the deep, deep down, whether you realize it or not, the way a person reacts to chaos, to trauma, to death, to fear, has to be Hashem. You know, it has to be there, buried there somewhere. And you don't hear about it. You don't hear about these type of things. Why? I think we know that we opened up a can of worms, at least from the Goyim's perspective, from a secular perspective. In the time of Mashiach, it's going to be in the open. That's how you know it's Mashiach. You know how you know? Noisu yochad al Hashem v'al Mashicho. Make no mistake about it. This battle is a battle against God. That's what it says. Al Hashem v'al Mashicho. You want to say they're doing it secretly? I don't know. People say, maybe germ warfare, this is Nuchem Yitzchak B'Magog. Only 100 times. What is Muhammad's Kai Gumaga? Well, obviously in every generation it's Messiah and can be Muhammad's Gumaga. Obviously in the Holocaust, if Mashiach would have come, we would have reinterpreted it was Muhammad's Kai Gumaga. The Crusades would have been Muhammad's Kai Gumaga. All the expulsions would have been Muhammad's Kai Gumaga. Every single generation. So now the new thing. The new thing is this matzah that we're in now. Oh, German warfare is Muhammad's Kai Gumaga. And you'll tell me, I don't know, whatever you're gonna, you'll come up with all your conspiracy theories and chulu v'chulu, and you're gonna say it's gonna be, they're coming to plot. Well, question: you want to say it's Muhammad's Kol Gemagod? Can you fulfill what it says in this pasuk? Can you fulfill the conditions of Muhammad's Kol Gemagod? According to Rashi's first interpretation, a condition of Muhammad's Kol Gemagod is. The Roiznim noistu yochar al Hashem v'al Mashicha. First and foremost, it's a battle, it's a war against God.
It seems it's not specific one thing. Mehemet Amalek was the same thing. Amal Hashem Amalek. Who was Mashicho shel Hashem? Am Yisrael. Who was Mashicho shel Am Yisrael? It can be anything.
Okay.
Hagoyim rakshu be'avar. Rakshu is in the past, Yehigurik in the future. It's always, it's going to be, it was and it will be.
It's a cycle. In every generation it can be understood. Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. I mean, these are just generalities. But it does say here.
For him gets the Mashiach for this, but it's always like that.
But it does say
there is Goyim against.
Okay, against the Mashiach.
Against Hashem.
Okay, let's next off. Pasuk Gimel. Menatka, what do they say? They say, again, this either is referring to the people are saying this to David. They're coming to plan against Mashiach is David HaMelech, or Mashiach is the Melech HaMashiach. They say, Natika es mo siro semo, tongue twister. Let us cut off the word Ninatika. Ninatika. Ninatika is to cut off, to cut their cords. What are they now? The word Mosiro Semo is a chevel, but it's not an ordinary cord. It's a very, very powerful cord. We're going to cut their cord. Well, that's obviously a metaphor. We're going to cut their connection to Hashem. V'nashlicha mimenu. Someone actually said this to me yesterday. I was opening the door, and an elderly person, he said to me, Al tashlicheinu. I'm telling you a true story. Mamash Yasek, coming to the shul, person opens the door, and he says to me, Al tashlicheinu le'ezikna. What does it mean, tashlicheinu? Translate the word tashlicheinu. So I was like, what am I supposed to say? Don't discard. So he says it means to throw in the garbage. To throw in the garbage. In the time of Zikna, Al tashlicheinu. How do you translate those words? It's a hard word to translate. Well, guess what?
It's supposed to mean don't disregard.
Oh, so we have it right here. He was telling me we're going to learn this today. V'nashlicha mimenu. The goyim, the umim, the malchei, eretz, the roiznin. Okay, the malchei eretz. By the way, it says the malchei eretz, not the malchei ho'adoma. Okay, there's a difference between the eretz and adoma. What do they say? We'll come back another time. That we're going to cut their cords, the nashlicha mimenu, and we're going to nashlicha discarded mimenu from them. Avo semo is another word for a cord. Let's look at the Mitzudos Tzion, how it translates the contrast of these two words. So look at the word first. What is it? Mosro semo hein kishure mitzuya ol. A yoke. The word mosro semo are the straps of a yoke that you put on an animal to pull a plow. These are obviously very, very strong straps. Now he says they're called straps, so they're not made from cloth. They're usually leather. These, if I'm not mistaken, these type of straps are leather. And they're being used to go and to connect it to the yoke animal. And on the next page, the Mitzudos, on page 17, on the very, very bottom left, Avoy Semo Chavolim of Bashalosh Yisun, they're braided ropes. Okay, so you have leather straps and ropes. Leather straps and ropes. What does that refer to? If you would ask me, Tefillin and Tzitzis. You want to go look at this in the real. Everything can be. We're doing some drush, homiletics. Over here, the goyim, it's a melchemes Hashem. A Jew. What is the tzura of a Jew? The most powerful Holocaust pictures beyond any. No one's going to deny this. Is to see a Jew dressed in talis and tefillin, surrounded by Nazis. All so many different types of these pictures, so many different varieties, flavors of this picture, and always is a Jew. What's the pasuk? What is the caption? So in my worthless opinion, it's this pasuk. The caption of those pictures of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram, terrorizing the Jew wearing his talis and tefillin, his tattered talis and tefillin is, Ninatka es Moisre Semo, let's cut off these leather straps. The leather straps, what are they? They're straps that you connect to the yoke, the oil. What is Kriyashma? Kabbalas oil malchu shemai. What does it say in the Tzillin? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Kabbalas oil malchu shemai. They're leather straps. Let's cut off these leather straps of the Jew who is mekabel the oil malchu shemai. V'nashlicha mimenu avoy semo. The gedil, the tzitzis, the ropes. Let's get rid of this talus he's wearing. This day looks at the talus. Look at the talus, the tzitzis, the isim, so zechartem, the tcheles, demel yam, yam demel rekiya, rekiya lekisi hakavod. This is the mahus of anti-Semitism. It's not just so much the Jew It's the Jew's connection to the Kisei HaKovod, the Jew's connection to the Kabbalah's oil Malchus Shemai. This pasuk is the caption of every time you see a picture of a Jew dressed in talis and tefillin with weapons of destruction pointed against him. Ninafka, that's what they say. Ninafka is Moser Seimoy, Venashlicha Mimenu Avoy Seimoy. Rashi of this pasuk says, okay, we raised him, Rabbi Chol, you want to go give us some lessons in French?
Well, you talk about the last part
there? All of them, but you have quite a work here for you here. Roizim? Roizim
okay.
Is...
So I think I can piece those two together. Roizim, I think, are seniors, meaning senior officials.
Okay.
And the other one, those do Lashon Sod for concealment. That's the way I...
Concealment. Zodait. Hiddenness. Okay, Mahio Eitzel, what is the Eitzel? What are they conspiring? These four branches of government. Four branches of government. The Goyim, the Umim, the Malchei Eretz, and the Roizdim. Four different elements of leadership of the nations. What are they doing? What are they planning? Plus the Gimel, Ninatka es Moisra Semo. Let's cut their straps. Oh, look at these words here. I'm not even going to attempt to even look at these words here.
Let's see. Avo Semo, I think it's lay cord. Cords, in other
okay.
words.
Okay, cord is translating. Okay. Elus over here, right? Okay, yeah, okay.
The other two, those two are harder. The one
that
not
cut
most
of
the same, that's pretty hard.
Okay, so Rashi said that we send them into those Elu Ritsuois Shakoshin Ha'oil Bohem. Leather straps. Ritsu usually means leather. A leather strap that you tie to the yoke, and our drush is the Ol Malchus Shemaim of the Shemaim Yisol, the tefillin, the cut off that tefillin. And Avoy Seimo, the ropes, they're triple, the Gedil. Right, you're supposed to the tzitz is called a gedil. A gedil is a collection of ropes. Gedil is one of the words used for tzitzis. Avoy Seimo, these are the ropes. Okay, let's just do one more pasuk. Yoyshev b'shamayim yischok. David says, Hashem yilag lomo. When Hashem watches this, Hashem laughs. Hashem, now we have the word, we have Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Hashem, Yilag Lomo Makstem. And it's not a laughing matter. There's no laughing matter. To go see a Jew being tortured. Okay, it's no laughing matter. What?
Or is it ridicule?
Hashem Yilag Hashem, so Hashem is Yischok. Hashem Yilag Lomo, he's ridiculing them. Yilag Lomo. Okay, now let's see. Let's do one more pasuk. Dal and Ayit says here. Well, Oz Yidaber, this will stop. Oz Yidaber Elemo Viapo. Then Hashem will respond to them, Elemo to them in His anger, Uvecharoinoy, and Hashem's fury, Yevahalemo. Some good vocabulary words. Let's look at the Mitzudos Tzion. I have a feeling we need a lot of Mitzudos Tzion over here on this show. Yeah. Mitzudo Siyoin is Pasuk Dalit, Lomo Hashem in heaven, when he watches the nations of the world conspire to destroy the Jewish people by cutting off their straps and their ropes. Hashem in heaven, he laughs. Hashem, Yilag Lomo, he mocks them. Yilag, he ridicules Lomo. What is the word Lomo? Lohem them. Ritzon Eloheinu Aleihem, Hashem mocks. Regarding what they're doing, Hashem is ridiculing. Pasuk Hey, Oz Yidaber Eleimo. What is the word Eleimo? Aleihem. Hashem speaks about them. I guess Hashem speaks about them in Shemayim to the Malachi Hashareis, to the Tzadikim. Hashem announces what he's going to do in his anger. Uvacharoinoi. And Hashem's fear yivahalemo. What does that word mean? Behola. Hashem will bring about their destruction in a state of behola, confusion.
Look what he says here. He makes a joke of them. They said, Menatka misroteimo, Nashlicha mimeno avoteimo. So he says the same language, he said. okay, yeah. As it is well, Elaine Mo, you know, he does the same thing. Ilag la mo. You talk about more.
It's the same use, poetic.
I'll tell you.
Whatever you'll do, I'll do. It's the same poem. It's poetic. It's
like
poetic.
It was your shir, to be aimo, to aimo.
Yeah, but Shamash, they do it. They did it before.
Okay, let's look at the I think look at this the Malbum and the Be'er HaMilos. We're gonna end up doing I think the Be'er HaMilos here a lot. The Be'er HaMilos in Pasuk Dalit this is like classic Malbum. What is the difference between the word Yitzchok and Yilag? Obviously Yitzchok is like Yitzchok with a tzadik. So here it's Yitzchok and Yilag. Hasechoik Yel Lepa'amim Derech Simcha. The word sechaik is joy, ulepamim derech lag. So the Malbim over here says over here both, even though it says the word he said to rejoice, it doesn't mean joy. Like I told you, there's no joy in witnessing a Jew suffer. There's no joy in knowing that goyim are conspiring, are planning horrible things. However, the word yitzchak does not necessarily mean joy. The word yitzchak can also mean mockery or ridicule. Now he's telling us a very fascinating rule. When the word al follows the word yitzchak, and that word al appears not in this pasuk, lomo means al. Let's see, alu lag. The cholzos lag godol mischak. The word lag is a more intensified version of the word of ridicule. Shemischavin lil oig. Yeah, it's premeditated. Okay, so he's saying a very fascinating idea. Tzuchoik is spontaneous ridicule. La'ag is premeditated ridicule. That's the Malbum. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And tzuchoik just comes spontaneously. V'sichakti lifnei Hashem, there generally eschak aleihem lo yaminu. And sometimes it means happiness. Okay, the next. Okay, the pasuk dal. Pasuk hey. She laughed. Right. Pasuk hey.
She laughed.
Because
she was like startled by
sudden.
Right.
So you have to analyze there. Was it mockery or was it happiness? Okay, that was the whole question. We'll have to see. Pasuk hey, just one finish up quickly.
Maybe there's a subtlety here that Hashem is warning us. We ourselves are the ones who take off our tefillin and that's it. It's amongst the population, amongst ourselves. Not only the goyim,
we do it to ourselves. Self-hating Jews. Okay. Let's get the pasuk shot. Then we'll have to discuss some ideas. Look at the pasuk hey in the Malbim, the Be'er HaMilos on the left side, page 16. What is the difference between apoy and charoin? Charoin mitzayin his chorus ha'af upeulasai. The word charoin means the coming forth of anger. It's not theoretical. It's the practical side of anger. The acharoin ha-mislave el af oise roishim k'moish omri chazal v'yomru v'yichar af ha-shambam af aroin nitzdora v'yichar af ha-shambam af aroin nitzdora. So I think what he means over here is that af is inside. Choroin is when the af bubbles over and it becomes
an outburst
where it becomes real. It comes to fruition. Af is more like the plan. I'm really angry. So what do you do about it? Calm down. Take a deep breath. If a person punches someone, that's charoin. The charoin is the coming to fruition of the pent-up emotion of anger. So over here, to conclude, Yosheb Hashem Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he witnesses the plans of the goyim, what they're trying to do to Klal Yisrael, in the Talmud, according to the times of Mashiach, or David in the Wooden Vows, Hashem says, you can plan all you want.
Right.
I'm the boss here. All your plans are garnish and garnish. Yoyshev HaShamayim Yitzchak. He mocks them. Hashem Yilag Lama. Poetic repetition. Yitzchak is Hashem has a spontaneous mockery. And then has a premeditated mockery of them. Oz Yidaber Aleimo. Then Hashem speaks about them. to this Pamal Yeshalmaila Viapo, I'm really angry at these wicked people. Uvecharoinoi. And then Hashem's anger overflows. It bursts forth in coming to this world in a physical sense, where these wicked people are overcome with chaos, with Bahola uvecharoino, yiva halemo, they're in a state of Bahola in confusion. That's the telltale sign that their downfall is imminent. When you see that they're in a state of Bahola, when they're all like, oh no, oh no, that means their end is near. When they're no longer cool and collected, when they lose their cool and they're in a state of confusion and this chaos breaks out, that means their end is near. And before we can close, I want to tell you one idea which really shook me up a lot.
Stages sealed from tzchok to lag to
response, right? The four stages. You're very good. You're saying very important. There are four stages. When Hashem acknowledges what's going on, it starts with tzchok, yischok. Then it gets further to premeditated lag. Then it turns into af, and then the af overflows with cholam. Excellent. There are four stages. Sechoik, lag, af, cholam. Before I conclude, I just want to tell you one very quick yisad. This really shook me up, and no one talks about this. The only one that would talk about this is the very person is Jewish. I don't remember his name. He's one of the most famous psychologists in the world. I hope he's still alive. He wrote about the Holocaust. He was a survivor. His book was read by, it's a little book. It's
Viktor Frankl?
Yes. Yeah. Genius, how you know, Viktor Frankl. You must read that book. It's a little book, it's not so big, it's a teeny little thing. It is just amazing to know how to write. A person knows how to write, how to describe. It's just amazing. You read that, you really wonder, where is everyone else? How come no one else? He has a tremendous, tremendous koyach of writing, like I've never seen before.
He experienced it himself.
Yes. So there, a lot of people experience Rahman Litzlan, and a lot of people wrote about it. But the way he writes about the Holocaust, the way he writes about his experience in the camps, it was Auschwitz. I think it was Auschwitz.
Yeah. Sorry. He was a psychologist in one of the camps.
Right. So which camp was he in? I haven't read in a while.
About the different people, how they reacted after the Holocaust.
So one thing he said in his book that I remember really shook me up, and you're not going to see this anywhere. I can't believe you're going to find this anywhere, is where he says that what preserved a lot of people like himself was humor.
Humor.
You don't hear about this. You go to a Tisha B'Av program, and you're going to hear about the Holocaust survivors. Malchamores, death, bones, skeletons, terror. Oh, they scare you from mamish from time immemorial. And now his book, he writes about that like no one else. Believe me, he really gets out that message. But he has sections there where he writes, here we are, we're about to die, they're about to kill us. And he talks about how they were making jokes. They were literally making jokes.
You mean like black humor, dark humor?
Right. Yeah. Like as they're going into the gas chambers, as they're going on a death march, they're mamish making litzonis. They're making litzonis.
It's a way of releasing grief.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So no one will talk about this. Think about it. When you go to these memorials, Kristallnacht, Tisha B'Av, Yom HaShoah, wherever you're going to go, they're going to talk. They're going to try, and they should. They should. They try as hard as you possibly can to bring out the horror, the tsar. What happened? And you have a film, they'll play this ominous music, and these scenes, these dark scenes, to create this mood of horror and Gehenna. And he writes about this, and he does it better than all of these movies put together when he talks about the horror. But then, somewhere in the middle of the book, here and there, and this is a theme that goes on and on in his book, he talks about what preserved many people like himself to get through this was humor.
That's where we get the expression lachum tzoros.
Yeah, yeah. And to me, when I read it, and also, you know, he has a way of writing that no one else has. It really opened up a whole new world for me. And Rachmana Litzlan, we go into difficult situations, and like, it's really, really bad. Make a few jokes. It totally changes the whole. Though not, you can't make jokes. A person is a shchivnei rahman, they're dying in the hospital, and it's not a time to make jokes, obviously. I mean, it's a very delicate,
right.
It's a very dangerous, delicate approach, but there's a time for everything. And when I'm reading this pasuk, and you see over here, the world's coming to an end. The world's coming to an end. You have the four categories. You have here the goyim and the umim, and the yisyatsu malach eretz v'roiznim, Allah Hashem Yal Mashiach and Natkos Mishra Sein V'Nashlich Aminenu. You know what the response is? Yoshev Hashemayim Yitzchak. And I know, we just learned Yitzchak here, according to Pshuto Yishel Mikra, means Hashem is ridiculing them. That's the Pashup Shat. That has to be the Pashup Shat.
He gets the last laugh.
But there is, why do you possibly have to use this word? Why did I say the word Yitzchak? There's another dimension of interpretation. And David is saying, you know what, be like Viktor Frankl. You know, he's not such a fun guy. I'm not coming over here to, you know, I don't know, you know, this is, it was a little bit controversial. It's Ashkafa. I don't remember. It's been a while. I can't blame anyone. It's been a long time since I've delved into Viktor Frankl. I don't remember all that much, but he's saying here, Yoshev Hashemayim Yitzchak. Hashem is hinting to us. Use the tool of humor. It goes a long way. It can go a long way in getting you through a difficult situation. There's a tremendous koyach in humor that opens up your mind, allows you to deal with difficult situations. There's something to hint over here. If you read the book, you'll agree with me, I have no doubt.
Did before, when Shaul was chasing him, he said once, "Acharei mi rodef melech Israel, acharei zvuv echad, acharei parosh echad, you the big shot that you rodef acharei, who am I? I'm nothing. And you cheered, you chase me."
It's also humorous.
It's also humorous.
It's also an element of humor. It's true. Okay? It's true,
so.
Humor goes a very long way. It's not like Chazal said, when you start learning, you open up the milsa b'dichus, the joke. When there's a joke, your mind opens up, you see things you didn't see before. You see the situation.
Scream louder, you may be sleeping.
Make jokes. Make a joke, it opens up your mind to be able to deal with, you have a broadness that allows you to see things from a different perspective, and you can deal with difficult situations. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we're going to learn about dreams. Chaloimos. Chaloimos. Everyone can wake up. We're going to learn about dreams. Vayachaloim v'inei sulam mutzav arza. I think this is the first time there's a dream. Right? This parish is the first dream in the Torah? Could be. Maybe. No, it's not the first dream?
No.
What was your first dream?
Avraham.
It doesn't say that they had a dream. Hashem spoke to them. Does it say that Avraham had a dream? It's Hashem spoke to them. Targeno. What does it say? Chaloyim? All right, it doesn't matter. We'll still talk about it.
It's the Mashur's your side. It's the Rodal's your side. And it's the Chaybul. Usher, the Yom Rabbah.
Lamo is a three... Which is the three, is the Chutam Shulish, aiding the. So they try to break down those two things.
Learn the Mary Yonatan.
So that's what you're saying. You can't possibly translate up. When people say, the yoke and the this, it's not a heavy burden. Bull is a guiding thing for the animal. It's not a difficult thing. It is a good thing to guide. So they break away. They go, they're gone.
They had the potential to be the number one solution.
See you.
No, I'm leaving.
I just found that they sort of just went to the house. That's why he has a big
Yeah.
Some infection in the foot. He was here yesterday, and then I found out.
Deportation. The guy that so was behind it, putting it together, was
good.
The guy who got my mitzvah, I think I'm sure. Part of the trip was, we went back to the shul where he was, they never touched the shul because the Catholic lady who lived next door to the shul told the Nazi they can't go in there. She boarded up the doors. When we opened up the, they did made a ceremony out of it, but the eeriest sight, and it was just incredible the way you saw like 200 people just in total shock. When they took off the planks from the doors and we went in for the first time, the shul hadn't been touched in 70 years, the dust was so thick, there were talesim and tefillin strewn about on the benches. So when they came to take the people away, it was obviously in the middle of davening. And you saw just talesim just strewn about, laying on the benches, spread out, with the dust thick on the benches there. 70 years.
You were there in the open up the shul?
Yeah.
Wow, which town was this?
Bardia.
Wow.
It was like 3 days of
that
was in Slovakia.